B-Pod Studios.
Comic books, video games, anime, sci-fi. If you've been made fun of for it, we're probably going to talk about it.
One question. Is it too late to change the name?
Nerd Radio starts now.
Hey, everybody. It's another week of Nerd Radio. Wherever you get your podcast, as part of the B-Pod Studios Network, as well as online at Nerd Radio 101. My name is Chuck B, and I am joined at home via the internet by Al Beck.
Hey, what's going on?
And by James, who nearly died on his soda while we were doing the intro.
Yeah. Oh, that wasn't the soda that always got me, boys. The soda was there to get the throat a little wetter.
I think,
live from my basement. What's up, everybody?
The soda was the saving grace. The soda was the medication for the medication.
Yeah, the soda stopped me coughing all during your intro.
Yeah.
Well, we are back for another week of Nerd Radio, and we thank you guys for tuning in and downloading the podcast as part of the B-Pod Studios Network. And we really appreciate being able to come to you in these times and entertain you with stuff that's going on and keep you updated on stuff that's going on in the world of nerds. And speaking of updating stuff that's going on in the world of nerds, I think the perfect place to start this week's show is WrestleMania. Happened this past weekend.
WrestleMania?
Oh, really? I mean, I guess that's to be expected. I do kind of want to, there is a part of me that wants to see this WrestleMania, because obviously I'm out of the wrestling game since I was a kid, but it's so unique, even if it was WrestleLamia, as James just said, I kind of want to see it. Like, isn't the network one of the free things right now?
You can get the network for free right now, but they're allowing the older WrestleManias. You can watch any of those for free.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think they're allowing you to watch this one unless you have a subscription, but they've been running it this way since its inception. If you sign up for the subscription, your first month is free.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, just sign up and you're going to subscribe. Watch what you want to watch. Watch that Stone Cold interview with the Undertaker. Mm-hmm, watch the WrestleMania. And then just cancel.
All right. It's a good idea.
You know, it's modern day stealing. You could be a modern day pirate, but just not without the eye patch and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, James, you weren't a fan.
Nah, I didn't really enjoy it. To be honest, the first night I kept falling asleep.
Yeah.
I wasn't keep interest. Undertaker, AJ Styles. It seemed like more like a movie. It just, I don't know. I mean, for the situation that they're in, they wanted to give you some sort of a product. I guess they gave you something, you know, good job on that.
Yeah.
But for me,
I guess, like this podcast.
Exactly. It just wasn't, I don't know. It didn't blow me away. The matches I thought were fairly entertaining and interesting, but it's not the same without the crowd and that interaction and the John Cena, the Fiend match. I just didn't get it, because to me it wasn't really a wrestling match. It was just like some weird art house film mocking John Cena's history and things like that.
So would you say, because going into it, obviously you knew what it was going to be. You knew there was going to be no crowd. Would you say that you got pretty much what you expected, or were you hoping for better? Like, what would your reaction be, you know, knowing with what was going on right now? Like, would it have been better if they had just not done it?
I got exactly what I expected.
About what you expected, okay.
Yeah, I got about what I would expected to have gotten. It was essentially like a SmackDown or a Raw, but without any pre-taped elements. Mm-hmm. I mean, the elements were pre-taped, but you weren't watching replays of past pay-per-views. You know, you're just watching – it just felt like I was watching wrestling two extra nights this week.
Sure. Nothing.
And Gronk is dumb. Why is Gronk the host?
Oh, I forgot about that.
What's the point of that? It was literally like, I, Gronk. I host WrestleMania, Gronk like wrestler, Gronk 24/7 champ. And that was it. What the hell, Gronk? Why? Like, what? What were you thinking?
Now I'm picturing Gronk as Grimlock from Transformers, and it's making me very happy.
Hey,
what does he transform into?
He was the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Does James,
Gronk transform into T-Rex?
Does James have any information about Transformers that could ruin that for Chuck? I mean, we already took care of Nightcrawler.
Oh. I got to think about Optimus Prime. You don't know how he got that nickname.
Yeah, Optimus Prime was wearing a face mask before it was cool to wear a face mask. No, so
good point.
That's true. Hey, speaking, I know we're talking wrestling, but I want to ask Chuck, because I've seen a meme go around. He might have even posted it, since we're talking about Optimus Prime. Who gives the better movie speech, inspirational speech, Optimus Prime or Captain America? What's your stance on that, Chuck?
Oh, see, the problem with that meme is that they give you the movie version of Optimus Prime, and out of all the versions of Optimus Prime, that's my least favorite.
Okay, sure. Well, your favorite version of Optimus Prime, who's winning in a inspirational speech off between him and Captain America?
Let me say, first of all, that I would follow either one of them into hell after they gave me a speech. But Optimus is my boy, man.
Yeah.
Even in the movies, when Optimus gives a speech at the end of the first Transformers movie and that Linkin Park song comes up, I get chills.
That's funny. Bigger chills than you get when Captain America gets the he picks up Thor's hammer.
Chills for Prime, boner for Captain America.
Oh, there we go. That's the difference.
Yeah. That is accurate.
You know what, though? I'll say, first of all, I'm a puss. I'm not following anyone into hell, no matter what they say to me. But I got to give it to, what is that? What's the guy's name? Peter something, or the voice actor for
Peter Optimus? Cullen.
Peter Cullen. Dude, he's got to win on his voice alone.
James is considering it.
Oh, no, I was waiting for your reaction. I'm like, I don't.
I thought we lost the connection for a minute there.
No, I'm sorry. Al, thank you for your input.
We'll put Al down. I could have sounded less sincere if you tried.
Got Chuck.
So, James, I take it you're more on the Captain America side.
Yeah, I think so. But you know what? I don't.
He's all boner, man. He's all boner.
Yeah. All boner. I'm all Captain Erotica. That's who I'm going for. He is America's ass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, yeah.
I would follow that ass into battle.
That's a good point.
I'm glad you brought this up, because it was something I was going to talk about later on in the show.
Pants down, Captain America's the winner.
Pants down. Oh, Christ.
Yeah, we'll talk more Avengers later on in the show, but coming back to WrestleMania, I thought it was kind of fantastic. I thought they did the best they had with what they had to deal with. There were some things that going forward I hope that they use from this WrestleMania, like, for instance, making it two nights and making each night about 2.5 hours long. Yeah. I thought it was perfect.
Very true. The two nights was much more manageable, and then it was like two decently sized wrestling shows as opposed to one giant American Challenge sized wrestling show.
Yeah, for sure. The first night was when they had the Undertaker and AJ Styles fighting in the graveyard, and that was like watching a movie fight. And if that's what you want to do with The Undertaker nowadays, I'm all for it, because the last couple of years when he's been in the ring wrestling, he's looked very old. Like, time is catching up with Mark Calloway. But when you can shoot it like a movie and you can take breaks in between, you know, scenes and stuff like that, like, you can still make The Undertaker look like this badass force of nature.
Very true. That's a good silver lining to look at with it.
Yeah.
And absolutely him. Riding the Biker Taker is my favorite Undertaker, and that's how you can tell I'm not a true Undertaker fan.
Well, this goes back to what we've talked about comic books on so many occasions, Chuck, that you like the different stuff. Like, I'm a meat and potatoes comic book guy. I want my Captain America, my Avengers. You want the off-brand characters, little side missions.
I do.
So it does not shock me that you're like, oh, this WrestleMania was completely different. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, the movie fight between Taker and AJ Styles was great, and it had what is essentially what they call in movies a fuck yeah moment, when the Undertaker wins and he gets on his bike, and just as he's getting to ride right away, he pulls into camera frame and he raises his hand, and like, they shoot a laser light on this building of the Undertaker thing, and the Metallica Now That We're Dead comes back up. Mm-hmm, yeah. And you're just like, hell yeah, that was awesome.
Just like the ending to The Breakfast Club. They ripped off The Breakfast Club. That's how they ended the Undertaker AJ Styles match.
Oh, no.
By stealing from John Hughes.
Oh, no.
And then the next night, I remember watching it on Saturday, and they ended with The Undertaker and AJ Styles, and going like, if this was this cool, I cannot wait to see Bray Wyatt and John Cena in the Firefly Funhouse. And while that was not the same. It wasn't like a movie fight. It was much more psychological warfare. And I was here for it because if we've got characters like The Undertaker and Kane, Bray Wyatt, these goofy supernatural characters, like they're already supposed to have these powers that don't exist. So just lean into it.
Mm.
Just make it over the top.
Sure, I could see that.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from with that, too. Like, for me, my disappointment in that, like, that's fine if you want to do these weird movies or whatever. That's fine. Do that. But I was promised, I would feel like I was promised a match. Like, an actual, like, Cena versus the Fiend. Mm. He's coming out in the red light. You know, you can't see Cena. He's doing the, you know, they're doing their signature moves to each other. And then somebody wins or there's some crazy, like, that's what I was, like, excited to see in any form. And then I just feel like they gave me like a movie montage, you know.
Would you prefer that they had just not done it at all, James? Or are you glad that you still got WrestleMania with everything that's going on?
I wish they would have like postponed it and just be like, hey, pause. We're going to give you some best of wrestling stuff for the next couple months. Or maybe they pre-record some stuff, you know, take a couple weeks off, pre-record some stuff to get some storylines going, but push WrestleMania back to where you can do it like the right way. I feel.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, is that we're talking about those two matches because those were the only two that were shot in a cinematic format. Everything else was still empty arena wrestling.
Yeah. Was that weird to watch?
It's very strange because on one hand there are no fans. And on the other hand, they are in their performance center, which is a significantly smaller building than, you know, any type of arena. You know, the production value is still there, but you feel like you are watching one of the smaller wrestling companies that are on the other channels because they're just in a warehouse that they've set up as best as they can to make it look like, you know, a WWE event.
Mm, okay.
That was a thing that occurred to me too, is that some of the wrestlers took advantage of the fact that you can hear them talking while they're in the ring.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I was just going to say that.
And they played into their characters very well. And it's funny to see which ones did it, because the ones typically, like the one match was Daniel Bryan and Sami Zayn, and they did a fantastic job of speaking to each other in character while they were beating each other up. Both of those guys had extensive time on the independents, where you were typically wrestling in front of a handful of people and you had to do that. Whereas some people that have only come up in the WWE system, when you put them in that particular format, they have no idea how to verbalize their character. They only know how to emote it physically.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was really crazy hearing Asuka trash talk or whatever she was doing.
Sure.
She's a female Japanese wrestler, Al. And so she's just like screaming crazy things like in Japanese at her opponent, and you're like, I have no clue what she's saying, but she's angry.
Yeah.
She is very upset.
I wonder how they had to approach it differently, because sometimes, correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes they do kind of like give each other cues in the ring. Like, you know, like they try and work stuff out, and you kind of remove that dynamic, being able to kind of call it as you go, you know?
Yeah, they do. And it's interesting to watch not only how this is shot, but to watch the wrestlers themselves try and hide any of the cues they've got, because I would say I saw one or two.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's been a month of watching these shows with no crowd, so I've been kind of paying attention to whether or not I could see them calling stuff in the ring, and I haven't seen it a lot, which is a testament to how slick they are with that stuff.
I think a lot of that goes into the hands of whoever like is the director of the live show or the recording, because I feel like they cut cameras to hide that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So like they know or they recognize something, and there's probably a little bit of a delay to where they recognize when something gets called out, and they signal the cut to a different camera and they change an angle to where some of that stuff gets hidden.
Yeah, true.
And that was a neat thing too, is that because a lot of this was pre-taped and pre-recorded, they could, if somebody botched something up, they could totally just do another take.
Yep.
Hmm.
And I do feel, Amy had brought this up too while we were watching it, I feel kind of bad for the people who did the empty arena matches that had their big moments. Guys like Drew McIntyre or Braun Strowman or Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross, people that are either having their first WrestleMania in this fashion or are getting their big win in an arena, you know, a building with nobody.
Yeah.
No fan admiration. Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, for once again, for the times we're living in and for the constrictions they were working under, I think they did a pretty bang up job. I think there's definitely stuff that years from now we're going to look back on fondly that they did right.
Yeah, possibly, you know, but yeah, I mean, I think the for me, the show overall was lame, but I do agree that they did the best they could given the current circumstances for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you want to check out, they do have the video of Undertaker riding into that Metallica song on our website, WRAF.com. You can check that out. And I'm sure we'll share it in our social media as well.
I think I may have already I think so. Cool. Nerd Radio 101. By the time this airs, it will be on there.
There you go. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back now that we've gotten all that WrestleMania talk out of our system. There's some big news in video games coming up, and also some stuff in the movie industry that's getting moved around. We'll talk about that coming up next on Nerd Radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I'm Tony Maiello, and you're listening to Nerd Radio.
You have a dizzying end.
Wait till I get going!
Where was I?
Welcome back to more Nerd Radio on the podcast page at WRAF.com. We're also in Boston. Take it, Alback.
Rock929rocks.com.
And you can also find us on YouTube. You can check out clips from when we were in the Checkpoint XP studio, where we will hopefully return to at some point in the next month or two. And that's hopefully. Where is that, James?
Do you know something we don't, Chuck?
I'm just saying, you know, this is the new normal right now. Right. Hopefully at some point we will get to go back into the Checkpoint XP studios, and then I can beat Robbie's ass at Super Smash Brothers, because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, we got to resume the life that is now put on hold. But you can find that when we get back in there at twitch.tv/checkpointxp.
That's right. And you can find a bunch of their shows, as well as James is hanging out with the Checkpoint guys for their show as well. Where can people find that, James?
You can get all that information at checkpointxp.com.
While we're talking about Checkpoint XP, let's talk about some video games. Yesterday, PlayStation revealed the Sony PlayStation 5 DualSense controller. Have you guys seen this?
No,
I have.
What do you think, James? It's
like a weapon out of Overwatch.
It does.
It's a controller. It looks like a weapon you'd use in battle in Overwatch, is what it looks like to me. It looks pretty sweet. It looks futuristic as hell.
I gotta look this thing up while you guys are talking about it.
People online are comparing it to Eve from WALL-E because of the white round, you know, shape of it.
Oh, but, yeah, I can see that.
It's not the same shape as the PlayStation controller has typically been throughout its history, but it's not drastically changed either. All your buttons are where they're supposed to be, the dual sticks. You've still got the touchpad on the front, but it looks like the light kind of shines through from underneath the touchpad, and that's fun.
Mm-hmm. It looks sweet.
They say they're supposed to have adaptive triggers for the L2 and R2. I'm not sure what that means.
Well, maybe that means you can adjust. So like maybe if your finger has to reach a little farther, like you got short fingers, maybe you can like the trigger you can set to go in and out a little bit more before you click it.
Right.
So that's a guess. I have no idea.
And it's supposed to have a built-in microphone array so that you don't have to wear a headset.
Oh, good. So now everybody will have a microphone to call me old and dumb when they kill me in video games.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Suck a dong, boomer.
Al, did you find it?
I did. Yeah, it looks cool.
It's a neat looking piece of hardware.
When you said that it doesn't have the exact, you know, typical shape, I was like, oh, man, like that was one of the things PlayStation was always. It was always the same controller. They didn't change much about it. And I liked that. So you had me nervous. But it's basically the same. It's still the same concept.
Yeah. My biggest question is, how does it bounce?
Are you going to be TV shopping again, Chuck?
I just want to know when you have to toss it on the ground, how does it bounce? I need to know if it's going to bounce towards my TV or away.
Yeah.
I'll tell you right now, with them retailing, I think at $199.99, I don't think you want to test out the bounce.
Holy.
No.
Really? It's going to be $200?
That's what I saw in a headline. I didn't read the article, but that's what the headline says.
So here's my question, though. Is that like the controller or is that an upgrade controller? Like, do you have to have this thing to play a PS5 game? Or
that's a good question.
Okay.
I am not sure. What I am sure of is the PlayStation Now service that I know, Al, you've used it.
Yeah.
Sony's streaming platform usually adds games every month and then take a couple of games away. This month, they're not taking any games away, but they are adding Spider-Man and Just Cause 4.
Oh, dude, I can finally check out Spider-Man then, because I still have that.
There you go.
I got that for my nephew was coming over again, and they actually dropped the price from when I got it before. So I went ahead and got it.
Nice. Yeah, so I highly recommend, as we've talked about on the show, checking out Spider-Man. And, you know, you can just delete Shadow of the Colossus. You don't need that game. You can clear off some space.
I added it to my library. It was free. But I didn't download it. I did download The Division, which scared me.
Uh-oh. Yeah, this is not the good time to be playing The Division.
I didn't know. Somebody and here's the thing. I'm not blaming whoever recommended it either, because they recommended it months ago and I like got it and I downloaded it and it was sitting there and I just happened to pull up video games over the weekend. I was like, you know what? I haven't played a game in a while. Let me see what I've got here. And it was just like the first thing up there. So I was like, you know what? Let me try that game that was recommended to me. And I started it. And for those who don't know, it's like the storyline is that society is completely collapsed after a global pandemic kills most of the population, and it's the aftermath.
Oh,
I'm like,
no.
Like, this is, we're living this. We're living this. I was terrified. And you know what?
Into a crystal ball.
I know. And like, here's the thing, though. Like, dystopia is an ongoing theme. We see it in video games all the time. I get that. It's like, but like, did it have to be a pandemic? Like, what happened to just like, you know, a nuclear apocalypse, like the good old days? Like, give me a nuclear strike. I want some nuclear. Yeah,
good old nuclear apocalypse.
Yes. Where's a good old fashioned nuclear Armageddon? Like, come on.
Mutual destruction.
Right. It had to be a pandemic. And then I wet myself infection. And sat in, I didn't end up playing anything. I just sat in the fetal position and wet myself for the rest of the night.
Well, sounds I've like got some
money's worth.
You know, I did post about this on social media and a lot of people guessed that it was what, The Last of Us.
That was my guess.
I was going to say, I thought that was a similar storyline.
Yeah, it's not another one I've never played, but I'm not going to right now. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's funny how with any type of entertainment, while we're all kind of stuck working from home or, you know, we can't go out to the theater or to any place. With a lot of the entertainment, I'm finding like I want escape now more than ever when it comes to my entertainment.
Yes, 100% with you on that.
Yes. Yeah. And that was not the one to escape with. I'll tell you that.
No, it was not. To shift gears a little bit, the Sci-Fi Channel is looking to help us out as far as escape and entertainment is concerned.
What do we got?
Later on this month, they're going to be doing a couple of marathons. One, they're going to do a full series marathon of Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, cool. Probably the newer version.
They're going to play all four seasons, the miniseries, the movies, and everything. It's going to be a nonstop three-day marathon that begins Monday, April 20th.
420, baby!
It is the newer version, right? I'm going to
check out the show.
I didn't realize Battlestar Galactica was such a stoner show, but I guess they planned that.
Well, to me, anything that equates going to higher into outer space, I think, can qualify. Right. But I do find a lot of that stuff more enjoyable under the influence anyways.
Sure.
It's going to be hosted by Trisha Helfer, who was in the show, and that's going to be super cool. And starting April 16th on Thursdays, going for about 6 weeks, Lucy Lawless is going to host a marathon of all six seasons of Xena Warrior Princess.
All right.
Now that's a show I can see getting high and watching. That show is fun. I
know what I'm doing for the rest of this quarantine month.
Every Thursday you can plan on it.
All right.
So that's pretty cool. As we record this, it is Wednesday, April the 8th.
Yep.
So
it's Rex Manning Day.
Yeah, that's what I hear. We are 48 hours away from the release of Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah.
Al, how pumped are you?
I wouldn't say overly pumped, but after I got let down by The Division, I did go onto the PlayStation Store and hit the pre-order. So I am going to get that, and I decided to hold off on my video gaming until that comes out. Yeah, I don't know. I was really excited about it when I first found out, you know, but I got less excited as time went on. I was like, I have played this game a couple of times already. It's the remake. It's going to look different. I know the gameplay is going to be different. I know they're even concerned about some spoilers. Like, yeah, you've played it, but you haven't. I know that's kind of how they've marketed it, but I had it pre-ordered for a long time. I mean, they pushed back the release date, whatever, and I'd gone in and actually canceled my pre-order for the physical copy. And then after the Division made me cry, I went ahead and, pre-ordered it.
Have you tried?
Let Cloud, you can just nestle your face in Cloud's breasts. Yes. Right.
That luscious blonde hair. And then of his.
The big machine gun guy can come over and pat your little head.
Yeah.
Comfort you in this time.
Mm-hmm.
you can try the demo out. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago.
I've already paid for the pre-order, so I might as well just wait.
During the pre-show, we talked about WrestleMania during the last segment. During the WrestleMania pre-show, they played a commercial for it, and I actually had to find that commercial so I could post it on our website, WRAF.com. The commercial shows a whole bunch of the game. Doesn't spoil very much, if anything at all, but it is set to Karen O's version of Bullet with Butterfly Wings.
That's cool.
The Smashing Pumpkins song. And I was of the opinion, that's why I said in the article, I was of the opinion that I can wait until this goes on sale. I've got plenty of games to play. I like Final Fantasy VII. I'm looking forward to checking out this new version. I thought the demo was great. But when I saw that commercial, I feel like I have to have this game as soon as possible now.
Wow.
It was such a good combination of music and visual that I'm like, crap, now I need this.
We did that article that you posted up on the website did get shared this week on the Nerd Radio Facebook and Twitter account, Nerd Radio 101.
Excellent. Yeah, I should check out this commercial, man. It is absolutely amazing. And speaking of games that have just come out that have demos on the PlayStation Network, over the weekend, I tried out the Resident Evil 3 demo.
Oh, how was that?
The demo is really fun.
It's scary.
It's I Resident Evil 3 is one on the PlayStation I never actually played, so I can't speak to what is updated and what's cooler, but there are zombies goddamn everywhere and you cannot kill all of them.
Oh god, I'm out. Oh,
okay, so it's terrifying. Okay, perfect.
Yeah, and then on top of that, you've got the nemesis creature that, you know, is this like 9-foot beast that's just stalking you through the city that you have to find ways to like stop him from chasing you.
Is he still wearing that trench coat? He's like a like a big like picture of a pro wrestler in a trench coat, but his face has been ripped off.
Yep. Yeah, no, he's even probably even more terrifying than he was on the original PlayStation.
Oh man,
it's a cool demo though. I recommend it for
how
sure.
Many jump scares did you deal with when you played it?
I'll say two or three.
Two or three, and you're like a horror guy. I'm gonna poop my pants if I play this demo.
No, there was absolutely a couple times that one of them, as I was discovering that the zombies do not die, no matter, like, you can shoot them in the head and the game randomly determines if a headshot will make the head explode.
Oh, no.
So sometimes it'll take two shots. Sometimes it'll take seven to actually get a head to explode. And then they don't come back. But there were a couple times where I shot a guy in the head enough times that he fell down. And then I turned around and he jumped me.
Oh, no.
I was like, son of a bitch.
I will not be playing that game at all. I'm going to stick with my Final Fantasy and maybe pull up that PlayStation now and check out Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, there you go. All right. I've been, in the meantime, I've been playing Animal Crossing on my Switch, having a good time. And over the for my birthday yesterday, I decided to pick up the Steven Universe game, which is essentially Final Fantasy with Steven Universe characters. And that's fun.
Oh, cool.
That sounds like a good game for you.
And they remade Panzer Dragoon, which is one of my favorite games in the Sega Saturn for the Switch. And that, so far, that's beautiful. The controls are a little wonky, but it's beautiful.
Nice.
And what is the object of that game?
Panzer Dragoon, it's what they call a rail shooter. It's, think of like Galaga or Galaxian or something like that, but 3D. Okay. And you are riding a dragon through like a fantasy setting and shooting lasers at other dragons and other creatures that are trying to attack you.
Oh, okay.
So that is, like I said, it was one of my favorite games in the, on the original Sega Saturn. They made
sounds like a Thai dish, to be honest.
Yeah.
Can I get one panzer?
Now dragon, I'm hungry.
A medium spice, chicken pad thai, and give me a couple of spring rolls to go.
Now I'm really
well. Now hungry. I know what I'm getting for takeout for dinner tonight.
There you go. They wash their hands.
Yeah. Right. All right, well, let's take a short break, and we'll come back. The Marvel Cinematic Universe pushing everything back schedule-wise, and we'll talk about the Avengers and some other stuff. And Cats, did we talk about the butthole cut of Cats?
I don't think we did.
Oh, I don't think we did.
Because we're about to.
All right.
Back.
Cat buttholes are coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Pause that game. It's time for more Nerd Radio.
I don't want to see it.
Welcome back. It's Nerd Radio on the podcast page, WRIF.com in Boston.
Rock929rocks.com.
And all over your social media and YouTube at Nerd Radio 101.
I thought you were going to catch me off guard, didn't you?
What's that?
You thought you were going to catch me off guard there. I saw that.
A little bit sneaky. A little bit. Chuck Bean, Al Beck, and James in for another week of Nerd Radio. And a lot of we know the out of all the industries that are feeling the pain right now, the movie industry is doing spectacularly badly. Seems as we can't all go to movies right now. A lot of movies getting pushed back or outright canceled. I know that on a local level, I've seen a couple of theaters just outright closing, saying they're not coming back once this is all over.
Didn't we hear that AMC may be closing
its doors? Yeah, the AMC right by my house has closed down for good.
Yeah.
I feel like the movie industry and like movie theaters in general, they're like, you know, in Mortal Kombat, when you get ready for the fatality, I feel like they're right now, they're Kano just...
They're waiting, just staggering,
you know, just waiting for Scorpion to rip off his mask and toast you, you know?
Right. Well, Marvel has been wondering what they were going to do about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, seeing as Black Widow was supposed to come out May the 1st, and they had to postpone that. From the sounds of it this week, they are just moving the entire schedule back.
Okay.
So Black Widow is still the next movie to come out, but it sounds like that's not due out until sometime in the fall. Eternals, which was supposed to come out in the fall, is now going to be in February. Shang-Chi has been moved to next May, and Doctor Strange is going to be November of next year. And then the Thor movie was the next one that's moved to February of 2022.
So they're adjusting everything that was in the pipeline. They're not just going to just hold off on the Black Widow one. They're adjusting everything and pushing everything back.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure they're having problems even, you know, putting these movies together right now, or, you know, you probably can't even film them.
Yeah.
True. Sure. But I figure like it's only going to be like backed up for a little bit, you know. Eventually the X-Lax is going to take hold. And they'll get caught back up on all the scenes they needed to film, and then things will get right back on track for production, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. You would
they get regular again, you know? They got the fiber in the system. It's the Marvel Cinematic Universe compared to being constipated right there. Nerd Radio Classic moment for you.
There you go. It is a Nerd Radio Classic. Diarrhea.
Put that in your mouth, smoke it.
The thing that makes it interesting to me is that the way they had it set up originally, like this year was kind of a bunch of movies that were experimental, if you will, a bunch of stuff that we weren't familiar with, like the Eternals and Shang-Chi.
Yeah.
And now because everything has been moved, it sounds like I think 2021 is going to have like Thor, Doctor Strange. There's a Spider-Man movie they're talking about coming out with next July. And then it's either
lead into Carnage.
Yeah. But it sounds like either next year or the year after is going to be like four bangers.
Love a banger.
Banger in the mouth.
Right. Oh, no. You know what? It's 2022. 2022 is going to have the Thor sequel, a Black Panther sequel, and Captain Marvel 2.
So 22 banger.
Yeah. It's
the year of the sequel is 2022 times two.
Banging it out in 22.
Now you guys are just spitballing titles for the podcast.
Based on me giving Disney free marketing ideas.
Yeah.
Based on me trying to use the modern slang of banger.
Yeah.
Look, if anyone on this podcast can use stuff like banger or lit and it doesn't sound old, it's me. All right.
Well, the eldest of the three.
While we're talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, people are revisiting Avengers Endgame because it was about this time last year we got to see it. And people are reposting the video of the crowd reactions to the big scenes in Avengers Endgame, which I got to say, watching those crowd reaction videos again, it takes me right back there, man. Like, those scenes are still amazing.
Yeah. You know, that's kind of on my list of things that I want to do during all this. I do kind of want to go back and rewatch the Marvel movies. It's been a while since a lot of them I've only seen the one time in theaters and I haven't rewatched them. So I kind of want to do that, you know?
Yeah, well, it's time to get it done.
Yeah.
Put that collection to work.
Exactly.
While I was watching those and remembering like how cool those moments were, I wanted to, like, we can all agree that Captain America getting Thor's hammer is absolutely one of those. I used the term early in the episode, one of those fuck yeah moments.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any personally that you can remember that you're like, you know, the guy gets the special weapon, you know, the guy stands up after getting beat up and is like, all right, come on, let's go, you know, like Rocky or something like that. Is there any that you guys can think of?
In the Marvel, in the MCU?
No, just in general. Any movies, like movies typically do it better than any other medium. But I can remember there's scenes in Preacher in the comic where Jesse is like, all right, let's go, you know, in a fight scene.
Yeah. God, not off the top of my head, Chuck.
No.
I don't have anything off the top of my head either.
I love it when Forrest Gump waves at Lieutenant Dan and just runs right off of the boat. You know, that's pretty cool.
I mean, I love it when Marty McFly sees his parents are about to kiss at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance, and all of a sudden he comes back to life and starts rocking out to, you know, Johnny B. Goode on the guitar.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There you go.
That is a fantastic example of what I'm talking about. I feel like I should have warned you way ahead of time that that question was coming.
Because I was like, oh, man, what's my favorite movie? I forgot. And I was like, does my favorite movie have a scene like that? I don't know what my favorite movie is. Hey, I remember this movie, Back to the Future. I remember how that ended. Does that meet the criteria?
Back to the Future has like a bunch of scenes like that, because the end of every Back to the Future movie is one of those like everything goes wrong until it goes right, and those are fantastic. But sure. You've also got like in the first one when he rides the skateboard when he's getting chased by the guys in the car in the 50s.
Oh, dude, when he's on the hoverboard.
Yeah.
I like the futuristic one the best. No, number two is my favorite, I think. But I digress.
I can imagine a movie that may, in fact, become a new favorite specifically for James, and that is the butthole cut of Cats.
I don't want to watch Cats if I can't see the buttholes.
Yeah.
I want my human-like cats to look as authentic as possible, and those cats are always showing those buttholes off.
It's true.
Right.
It's true.
Show me that butthole, James Corden.
Well, Cats came out a couple of, I'd say about 6 months ago, and everybody was kind of horrified with the CGI of this movie. But one of the guys who worked on the movie about a month ago said that his job was to add and then delete digitally buttholes on all the actors and actresses, because cats, of course, typically have their tail up in the air showing you the butthole.
How bad does it hurt to be the CGI guy that has to go through the trouble of adding the buttholes and then you have to remove them later?
Yeah.
Do you think they were like, hey, butthole guy, we need you to just undo everything you've just done for like the last 6 months? And he was like, I quit this bitch. Bring in the intern.
Right.
Or do you think they were like, hey, there's no way. No one can break the news to Stan that all that time he spent with those buttholes, man, it was a waste of butthole time. So hire somebody new to come fix it.
See, I would feel like if you told me I did a bunch of work and then you told me I had to undo it, I'd be like, well, at least you're paying me to undo it.
Yeah.
At least I still.
That's a good point, I guess. But I mean, I think James and I think we've all had that thing where like you do a bunch of work and then you have to do it again or undo it and it sucks.
Oh, yeah. Yes, no,
that information would have been so much more valuable 4 hours ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I would be bummed that I have to do it over again, but I think I would go full Tyler Durden and like try and leave a snippet of a butthole somewhere in the movie.
There's 22 frames of buttholes in this flick. Good luck finding them.
Like a Where's Waldo?
Yep. Where's Butthole?
But yeah, people on the people on Twitter, specifically Seth Rogen and Rian Johnson, the director, have both amongst other people said, "Where's the butthole cut?" It's become the new Snyder cut of the Cats movie. And I feel like if I'm going to I know I'm going to see the Cats movie eventually because it seems like one of those train wrecks that you have to experience.
Sure, yeah.
But if I'm going to experience it, I want the full experience.
You want the butthole.
You want the full butthole. You're going full butthole.
That's right.
Oh, chuck that pussy butt.
I want to see Judy Dench's CGI'd butthole. I want to see Ian McKellen's CGI'd butthole.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Turned into butthole confessions here. Whose butthole do you want to see, Al? Come on, tell us. The listeners are dying to know.
I don't know. I'm a little flustered and flush. So many buttholes.
It's okay. No pressure. I think it's
Taylor Swift was in that movie. James Corden, Jennifer Hudson. Come on, you know there's a butthole in there.
You'd like to see all their buttholes on the internet already. Anyways,
pretty much.
Idris Elba.
Oh, there you go.
Oh yeah.
Wow. Cool.
James, you know if you see the Cats movie,
you just elbows butthole. There you go. What's that,
James? You know if you see the Cats movie, you want to see the butthole cut. Don't even lie.
Oh yeah, I want the butthole experience. Absolutely.
No, if I watch this movie, it's that version or not at all. I will say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now if the butthole version comes out, Al, we got to watch it.
All right. Well, I'm in. We'll have a nerd radio screening.
We'll make it a nerd radio watch along.
Maybe we can do a watch along. There you go. Yeah, good idea, Chuck. You went on the same page.
Yeah, that's like we were talking in the last segment about how Lucy Lawless is going to be hosting on the Sci-Fi Channel, hosting Xena. Matt Smith and Stephen Moffat and I can't think of her name. The girl who played Amy Pond.
Help Karen me out, Gillan.
Al. Yeah, Karen Gillan. They've been doing watch-alongs, I think, on Fridays on Twitter of different episodes of Doctor Who. 2 weeks ago, they did the episode Vincent and the Doctor, and then last week, they did the very first episode.
Oh, that's cool. Vincent the Doctor is a really good episode, too.
What's even cooler is that as of last week, and I don't know if they'll do that again this week, Amazon has been making the specific episode they're doing a watch-along free to everybody.
Oh, that's cool. I like that.
Yeah. So if you're a Doctor Who fan, it's definitely fun stuff to check out. And I think that's going to do it for this week's Nerd Radio.
Hey, we pulled another one together, huh?
That's right.
Hooray!
Thank you guys for downloading us as a podcast. Thank you for following us on social media at Nerd Radio 101. Al, James, thank you guys once again for getting home from doing the morning show and getting together online.
There we go.
Thank you for the fart machine.
There we go. Dynamite Nerd Radio right there.
Yeah, I was going to say we ended with the fart machine last week. We can't do that twice in a row.
Yeah, sure we can. This whole podcast is nothing but...
Okay, how about the fart machine?
All right, that's
better.
That's different enough. That's
different enough, yeah.
I'm in a difficult situation here. I mean, after all, you nerds.
Have a great weekend.
See you later, nerds.
I have spoken.
Should have a contest, have a listener turn that into a beat or something. Make right. Something out of that garbage.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with my video settings, but it's not important, I guess.
We get it, you're naked, it's fine. Rub it in. You're doing the show naked from home. Could even possibly have your wife there doing stuff to you while you're recording. We get it.
Look, they just because they call it a birthday suit doesn't mean I can only wear it on my birthday.
Fair enough.
All right. I'm going to take a drink and then we'll fire into this last one.
Wrap this thing up. Fire right into a Chuck.
Rawr.
Oh, my.
Taking a bite out of it.
Yep.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.